Yeah, thank you for inviting me to share our recent work, about echoes. Yeah, so this topic is based on the how we can prove the quantum gravity. Yeah, so I think, I know this is very challenging, but we have to do this, to see what the quantum gravity is. Recently, Nyash and I are working on the echo stuff, and how we can compute the entropy of the echoing black holes or something like that. But before talking about that, I would like to begin with some introduction about this stuff. Well, so first of all, so how can we prove the quantum gravity? Of course, many proposals have been proposed to see the footprint of the quantum gravitational effect. but today, I'd like to share this idea. So what if the remnant of the binary coalescence is not a black hole we believe predicted by the classical general relativity. For example, it can be a ultra compact object like a wormhole, gravastars, and so on. As the rate time signals are still dominated by noise, and we don't see the precise dynamics of the black hole horizons, or we don't know what it is in that sense. And in that sense, it could be a ultra compact object, or as you may know, in the context of the information loss paradox, the black holes may be dressed by the such elastic walls, firewall, or stretched horizons, or in the context on the quantum gravity, the black hole area can be quantized, or based on the string theory, it can be fuzz walls. There are many possibilities here, other than the classical black hole. Then, also there are many proposals about this, but for example, let's look into these two cases. So how about black hole area quantization? Well, this is a proposal that the black hole is allowed to have only discretized energies. So in that sense, black hole is regarded as the quantum object which has the discretized energy level, say delta M. Then only when we put the injection of energy E, which matches the delta M, or the integer times delta M, then the energy is absorbed. Like this. This is a transmissivity and the frequency, you know. Then we can construct such a toy model by using this potential in the wave equation around the black hole. Then otherwise, the black hole, the injected energy is just simply reflected back to infinity, as a black hole cannot absorb such energy, which does not match the delta M. So this may lead to the such a kind of echo signals after the black hole ringing, like this. So this is one of the proposal of the GW echoes. Then how about another model? So the stretched horizon I mentioned in the previous slide. So there's actually black hole complementarity proposal by the such kind. Well, let's consider the observer who trying to escape from the black hole. Then the observer will see the kind he's accelerated. And so in that sense, he will see the Hawking radiation out of the horizon. But the Hawking temperature is boosted by this factor, 1 over square root of 1 minus 2 gm over r. Then as as it approaches to the horizon, this boosted becomes significant and it diverges exactly at the horizon. So in the middle of this, this temperature may reach the Planckian energy scale. Then the where it's like it's very there exist the energetic walls. This is not I think slightly different from the firewall though, but anyway, yeah, there's an energetic wall. Then in such a situation, if we consider the infalling object which carries the information, it's interact with such an energetic wall and reflect it back. But this is a story for distant observer. Why we say this is a complementarity? This is the idea. So why if, for example, we consider the freely falling observer? In that case, this observer does not see anything, even when the observer passes the horizon, then the information in falling information, this one, also same for this observer, in falling observer. for example, let's imagine the Unruh effect. Yeah, so this is completely same with such a situation. Apparently, this scenario is very weird, since the scenario distant observer see, and the scenario the infalling observer sees, totally different. but we can say that there's no any another observer who can see the two scenarios simultaneously. So that's why in that sense, this can be acceptable. This is the idea of the black hole complementarity. And so for a distant observer, any infalling object can be reflected back at the horizon. Yeah, then of course, we are outside the black holes. So in that sense, we are the observers, the distant observers. Then this is the idea of the complementarity. And this is known as the stretched horizon I introduced here. Then the point is that for a distant observer, the information or any infalling objects is reflected back. Then how can we model such a situation? Of course, this is very complicated. But why if we add the extra term, which models such a dissipative wall at the horizon like this? So this is a usual wave equation around the black hole. Yeah. But this is the kind of modification to the waveform. And this comes from the dissipative effect at the membrane. Then this gamma is a constant which quantifies the significance of the viscosity at the horizon. And the omega is a frequencies, but the boosted effect. So omega, this capital omega is differs from this omega. This is enhanced only at the horizon. Then this constant is the Planckian energy. So this term is basically suppressed by the Planckian energy. That's why outside the horizon, far from the horizon, this term is very, very small. So that's why this does not play any role. But once we approach this to the in the vicinity of the horizon, this becomes significant due to the blue slit effect. So this should play some role. Then actually, this has the analytic form near the horizon like this. So we can put some, we can put this boundary condition, which is constant very near the horizon. Then like this. So here, there is the angular momentum barrier, VL. Then this constant behavior comes from this viscosity. So that's why, in that sense, and this region is interior of the viscous membrane. Then here, the horizontal axis is the tortoise coordinate of the black hole. So that's why this is very, very close to the horizon. R star minus infinity is very close to the horizon. Then there's no any flux as it's reflected back or dissipated at the viscous surface. Then here we see the some reflectivity actually. So what kind of reflectivity do we have in this situation? As I have said, this has the analytic solution only at the horizon, which is given by the hypergeometric function. So this can be decomposed into ingoing, ingoing and outgoing modes. Then looking at the ratio between them, we can see the reflection rate, which follows the Boltzmann reflection rate. Well, this is a bit suggestive, but anyway, this is interesting. So as we just simply put the viscous effect, the dissipative effect in the horizon, then we can obtain the Boltzmann reflectivity, which is a kind of thermal effect, apparently. Then by using this, and also we can model the echo signals with this modified Green's function. Here, HGL is the Green's function, or no, the spectrum in GL. So nothing special. But the two models, the echoes, we can multiply by this extra factor, 1/1 minus. R curly R is the reflectivity of the membrane. Then R black hole is the reflectivity at the potential barrier of the original black hole. And here, this quantifies the phase changes.
Sorry, Naritaka. So I don't know if you, can you make that picture a bit smaller, because now your video is covering the formula, so I don't know what we can do.
Video can you, is covering.
Yeah.
You should be able to remove it at this end.
Yeah. No, sorry, but I don't have any control over this. I think that the people and
his image. You have to claim. I don't know if you mean if you understand what the video, but it's his image that's covering.
Yeah, your image. Can you make your thing as smaller? Your keynote screen as smaller.
Okay, so my camera overlaps the formula. That's what you
exactly
mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. I see. Okay.
Can you switch video off for a second?
If you switch it off,
How about this? Yeah. Does it work?
It's still covering. It's just we don't see. Yeah. At least before you could see you, now we don't even see you, but there's still the formula is covering.
Okay. I don't know how I can
I think maybe if you turn off the full screen, you turn off the full screen for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. How about this? Does it work?
Okay. And then can you go back to that formula again?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now we can see it. But anytime you have any formula on that top right corner, then beware that we may not see. So right now we can find, but if you go back to full screen, then that would be a problem. Now it's good. Okay, now you could explain, yeah.
Okay, I see. So maybe I can keep this. I don't know, but okay. So anyway, let's keep this for now.
Yeah, you shift. Are you done with that formula now?
Okay, so let's try. Well, how about this? Okay.
Okay. Good.
But if you can see it, yeah, I will turn off the full screen. So please let me know. or I don't know. Okay, but anyway, yeah. Please let me know. Yeah, if you can see it. Okay. Well, yes. So I forgot. Okay. So anyway, I think you solve the formula, but anyway, by using this model, we can model the first, second, third, fourth, fifth echoes like this. So you can see the first echo was like this. Then the echo, the waveform is dissipated. Such effect can be modeled by the Green's function. And then the like this. So anyway, yeah. So we can, of course, there are many models for the GW echoes, and R can be constant or has the omega dependence, whatever. But for any split reflectivities, we can use this formula. Okay, then. But we should be careful when we consider spinning black holes. In such a case, in general, we have the super radiance. So the injected energy is reflected back, and the signals is slightly enhanced by the super radiance by extracting the energy from the black hole. Then such an effect may lead to the instability if the reflectivity is order is almost perfect reflectivity. Looking at this figure, here the reflected back, then the enhanced, then if this is the perfect reflectivity, so it doesn't change, the enhanced, then it leads to the instabilities between the cavity. So that's why we should be careful. Yeah. The R times R black hole, whose absolute value should be less than unity. Then due to this constraint, we can put some constraint on the reflectivity at the Udubi horizon, depends on the spin parameters of the black hole. Then here we assume the constant reflectivity. Yeah. But anyway, there's such a kind of effect, for GW echoes. And speaking of the quasi-normal modes, which is a kind of typical oscillation patterns of the black hole, the effect of the reflectivity is very significant. This may be relevant to, if I think some of you know the pseudo-spectrum of the quasi-normal modes. This topic is maybe relevant to such a topic, but anyway, so once we put the even small, very small reflectivities, the GW, the quasi-normal frequencies in GR is destroyed, and there's no any original fundamental mode in GR in this situation. Also, here, I take the very large number of the reflectivity, but even if we take the very small reflectivities, such like this, there's a kind of disturbance. The quasi normal modes in GL is disturbed like this. Then actually quasi normal modes are very important signatures to get some hint of the quantum gravity. Yeah, so that's why some people are working on the getting the hint of the quantum gravity from the quasi normal modes. But I will skip the background. So this is the quasi normal mode frequencies of the spinning black holes in general relativity. There's no any echoes here. So this is the in general, the quasi normal frequencies is complex, takes complex values. So the real part of the quasi normal mode frequency is the frequency, just the oscillation frequencies. But the black hole oscillation is a kind of damping oscillation. So it has a damping rate. Then it can be given by, it is given by the imaginary part of the quasi normal mode frequencies like this. Then we have the kind, such a kind of series of quasi normal mode frequencies. Then as we go to the higher angular modes, the frequency, the energy of the quasi normal mode is getting enhanced. But anyway, in that sense, we may be able to think of the freely oscillating black holes as the ensemble of the damping oscillator. So following the Majo's textbook, I don't know if you can see this, but maybe just in case. Let's consider the damping oscillators with this. The damping oscillator governed by this equation, which has a friction term and the proper frequency term. Then this also has the source term. Then the solution of this is given by this based on the Green's function technique. Then omega plus and omega minus is a pole of the Green's function. Those poles are given by this, which is nothing but a quasi normal mode of the damping oscillators. Then the proper frequency is related to the real part and the imaginary part of the quasi normal modes, as like this. The absolute value of the quasi normal mode is the energy, like a proper frequencies of the damping oscillator. Then in that sense, as I have said, so freely oscillating black holes may be regarded as ensemble of multiple damping oscillators. Then combining this idea with the thermal nature of the black hole, it will be interesting to consider the computation of the partition function of the black hole oscillation with thermal situation. Okay, so for now, for the simplicity, let's consider the limit of the higher harmonics. In such a situation, the formula of the quasi normal modes of black hole are very simplified, as like this. Here we assume that the energy of the oscillator is given by the proper frequency. In that sense, it is natural to take the absolute value of the quasi normal modes to compute the energy of the oscillator. Then here beta is the inverse temperature. So this is nothing but the Boltzmann factor, then we just sum up. Over the LM angular modes and over tons N. Then actually we can estimate the entropy from this partition function. It's of the order of unity. Then the it is natural to expect that the it should be comparable to the Bekenst Hawking entropy, but it's not. Yeah, order of unity, but in general, the Bekenst-Hawking entropy has much larger value. Yeah, divided by it, since it's divided by the Planckian area. This is a story for the general relativity in this context. Yeah, because so in GR, only a few quasi-normals contribute to the partition function because other quasi-normals are suppressed by the exponential factors, the Boltzmann factors. But what if we consider the echo situation? As I have said, yeah, so in the echo model, the distribution of the quasi-normals are totally different, like this. But in GR, like this, yeah, totally different, right? So why if we consider the echo model? And that would be a very interesting question. And this is the approximated formula for the quasi-normal frequencies with echo. Then you can see that it's independent of the, of course, in exact sense, there's a small contribution from L, but in leading, as a leading order, there's no contribution from the angular mode L, but there's a contribution from the azimuthal mode M, like this. So that's why, in that sense, even higher L modes can contribute to the partition function of the black holes that we have computed in the previous slide. Because in this situation, simply the frequency of the quasi-normal modes is determined by the length of the cavity between the membrane and the angular momentum barrier. That's it. So it's very simple, and the L dependence is, in other words, it appears in the form of the potential barrier, but the position of the potential is insensitive to the value of L. So that's why the distance between them are insensitive to the value of L. So that's why, yeah, this happens. Then anyway, yeah, so let's compute the partition function based on this model. This is equivalent to the model I introduced here. Then the result is this. So this is the entropy, and you know, this red region comes from the entropy formula of a thermal harmonic oscillator. Then we can just sum up over the overtone numbers n. And the green region is the you know, the sum corresponds to the summing over the angular modes Lm. So of the order of L squared. And this factor two comes from the graviton polarization. Then actually this can be done analytically. And then we can obtain this formula. Roughly speaking, area divided by gamma squared. Gamma, please remember that the gamma is introduced. Well, yeah, here. Almost here. Then, oh, sorry. No. Yeah. Then, if, of course, this gamma is fully parameter in this model, but it's natural to choose gamma of the order of Planckian time, since this has the dimension of the one over energy, so that's why, yeah. And then if we want the Bekenstein-Hogan entropy from this formula, we should choose gamma as like this. Yeah, slightly smaller than the the higher than the Planckian energy. Yeah. Then we can obtain this entropy formula. But anyway, at this point, we have already had the area rho of the entropy. It is interesting. Anyway, so in short, in this computation, what we have seen is that for GR, only such a small angular modes contribute to the partition function to compute entropy. But on the other hand, once we introduce the reflectivities, even higher angular modes can contribute to the partition function and play some role here in the entropy. So that's why, we can see such a different formula from two situations. Then, we have seen looking at the theoretical part of the echo model. But of course, this should be discovered from the data. Then the to justify to check this model. But at this moment, there's a positive result and a negative result for the discovery for the tentative detection of the GW echoes. Do not have any conclusive comment at this point because next talk, Jahed will give a talk about this in more detail. Yeah, so please do not miss the next talk. Yeah, but still, exciting time will come in the next decade or so. Yeah, so for example, Einstein telescope or Cosmic Explorer could see the GW echoes from the black hole that we can, that we have, like the black holes we have been detected with by LIGO algorithm. Then the, it improves the detectability by a factor of 10 or so, So it's very exciting. Then, so this is a kind of the astrophysical point of view. But how about the cosmology? So for example, I think some of you may wonder why if we consider the evaporation of the black holes. Of course, the evaporation of the black holes would be affected by the reflectivity at the would be horizon, if any, because the even if the black hole itself emits a thermal spectrum, but the gray body factor, it's a kind of the transmissivity of the black hole effective potential barrier. Distort the black body spectrum. So that's why this is called as a gray body factor. Then gray body factor is affected by the echo model like this. So this is a gray body factors which has a dependence on frequency. Yeah, like this. Then this actually enhanced the evaporation flux. And as such, it shortened the lifetime of the black hole, but actually it's not so significant. So this is a lifetime of the black hole for blue lines, and there's no any reflectivity. So just the standard theory of the Hawking radiation, Hawking evaporation. But as we increase the switch on the reflectivity at the Ruby horizon, well, it's shortened, but only by a few factors. So we do not see the change of the lifetime of the black hole by the in the order level. Yeah. So that's why, for example, if any PBHs, primordial black holes, could be produced at the early universe, this reflectivity would not so affect to the evaporation of the PBHs. Okay, so this is a summary slide. Maybe it's 9:45 a.m., right? Yeah, so I should stop here. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. In Texas, you started late. This is, I think, perfect timing. We have time for questions and comments. And if there anyone either online or here in the room, any Paul?
Hi, Naritaka, thank you. Sorry, I didn't quite follow the last point you were explaining. Why one lifetime of the echoing black hole shorter? Why did that happen?
Okay, so this one, right?
Yeah.
So I think the point is that this spike appearing in the gray body factors, and the spike means that there's an enhancement of the flux in this region, and then the okay, so for example, let me see. Well, okay, so for example, if we consider the spinning black holes, although the almost PBHs are believed to have no spins, but if we start with the spinning black holes, it has the super radiance. So that's why the extracted energy is proportional to the number of times of the reflection at the cavities. So that's why the reflectivity at the Udubi horizon would enhance the extraction of the spins and the energy as like this. Then the, okay, yeah. So this is a explanation for the spinning black holes. Yes, but I didn't see the, actually the non-spinning black holes, actually, yeah. Then if we consider the integration of the gray body factors, there's a kind of small decrement in the middle. So that's why it's not so obvious that we have kind of enhancement for non-spinning black holes actually, yeah. This is a effect for the super radiance. Yeah, super radiance should play some role in this plot anyway. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Other questions for Naritaka? I see there's a Shakufe, and you can unmute. So Shukova, can you unmute, or do you wanna?
Hello.
Okay, go ahead, yes.
I put my question in the chat because I have a problem with my microphone probably.
We can hear you if you wanna just ask your question.
Thank you. For calculating entropy and special value for gamma factor, yes, exactly here. Have you considered independent harmonic oscillators for each quasi-normal modes? This approach?
Well, do you mean the in? Sorry. What? Could you explain more? Sorry about that. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. there is some works some years ago that they considered that when they wanted to calculate the entropy for quasi normal mode of classic black hole, they assumed that we have an independent harmonic associated for any quasi normal mode. I wanted to know that you also have this assumption here.
Okay. Yeah. So I think in the previous work, if I remember correctly, they assumed the n independent oscillators, then that n is totally free parameters. So we can choose the n so that the entropy fits to the Bekenst-Hawking entropy actually in that formula. But here, we didn't introduce any such extra free parameters. We just simply count these quasi-normal modes. That's it. Yeah, so that's why, yeah. So this is the main difference between the previous work and our work. So they implicitly assume that so if we do this computation based on in the previous work you mentioned, we should just multiply the integer n here as an extra term, but we don't have it yet.
I see. Thank you. And just very small question. In figure one, you consider also the spin zero, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And you just show that figure one.
Figure one.
There are a lot of figures here. Which one is figure one?
It was ergosphere.
Ergosphere. Okay.
You go a little bit upper. Yeah.
Ergosphere.
Yes, this one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But you also consider also a spin zero. I was wondering if we can consider killing horizon also. Firstly, this case for a spinless black hole instead of ergosphere, probably the same super radiant effect or not?
For non-spinning black holes, there's no any ergosphere, so that's why, yeah,
probably we can consider killing vector if you wanted to consider super radiance. I was wondering, can we also discuss it here instead of ergosphere for this case or not?
Sorry, could you say again, please? Sorry,
because we don't have ergo region for the spinless black holes.
Yes, but
still we can have super radiance if we consider killing horizon for non-spinning black hole.
Ooh.
I was wondering, can we also have this discussion here or no?
So,
I don't know if this is...
How can you have super radiance without a spin?
Yeah.
Shakufa, I just kind of ask you what, I think Narataka was going to show you a case in which you could have super radiance without a spin, but do you have...
I just remember if we can have some killing, if you consider killing horizon in the spinless particle, we can, spinless black hole, we can have this kind of effects as a super radiant also. Mm.
Yeah, I feel that maybe we should talk about that offline because, this is an interesting topic, but maybe it takes more time to talk about it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Shakufa. Did you want to say something, Narataka?
In the previous question by Paul, I should also mention this. I think this is a more clear explanation. So the reason why we have the enhancement of the Hawking flux is that so if there's no any reflectivity at the horizon, if we assume the horizon is a perfect observer, the particle is emitted from nearby the horizon, then its some lower frequency mode is reflected back to horizon, then absorbed. That's it. Yeah, but if we have the reflectivity at the horizon, even small lower frequency mode, even if it is reflected back to horizon, to be horizon, it again have chance to emit infinity, to go infinity, because it's the lower frequency is a small amount of the lower frequency is reflected back again. Then it has actually many chances to go beyond the potential barrier. So that's why, yeah, the putting reflectivity leads to the enhancement of the Hawking flux. Yeah, yeah. I think this is a more simple explanation for this. Yeah, yeah. So sorry about that.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks everyone. I think I don't see any more questions here online. So I think it's a good time to move on. Thanks again, Naritaka, and thanks also for staying up this late. Hopefully we can see you again here in person. Okay, great, thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much.